Right. Yeah. Christian Clark didn't do a whole lot. Obviously, coming off of a torn Achilles, which forced him to miss the entirety of his freshman campaign in 2024. But in 2025, 35 carries for 131 yards and one touchdown for Christian Clark, who appeared in five games this year, four of them in the SEC, but only a total of eight carries in those four SEC.
Yeah, they had a lot of faith in that dude.
Yeah, I beg your pardon. He appeared in seven games this season, four in the SEC. The eight carry number in the SEC is right, but he did play a good chunk in the non-Ohio State non-conference game.
Well, I expect to see the freshman that got into some early games get the bulk of the carries and know what's going on now.
Yeah. Yeah, James Simon, the freshman, yes, who, again, played some during the regular season, but not a whole lot. You and I were clamoring for more James Simon down the stretch when the Texas running game was struggling the way that it was. James Simon has not played in a game since Oklahoma. He had three carries for 5 yards against the Sooners. That's it. James Simon for the year, 29 carries. His other 26 came against UTEP and Sam Houston. So it's been since, what, early October, October 11th, the date of the OU game, that we have seen James Simon appear in an actual game. 5'11", 205-pound freshman from Louisiana. So
I hope to see a lot. We got to see a lot of them now.
Yeah, I think so too. I think those will be your top two guys. You know, Michael Terry III is a name that we've touched on here. The five-star athlete.
He's a big guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. 6'3", like 215. Not your stereotypical running back height and weight. Started his Texas career as a wide receiver, but has been practicing a lot at running back. Was practicing a lot at running back in the regular season, even before all of these departures, but he's been working exclusively there since the A&M game. So, you know, a lot of Longhorn fans want to see what he can bring to the table. Five-star, you always get excited about that.
Sure.
And then Ryan Niblett has been working exclusively at running back. Obviously a guy who had a lot of offensive snaps and touches this year.
I've seen that.
Some of them at running back. Yeah, I don't think Ryan Niblett will ever be like bell cow running back, but I think he'll get a couple of touches out of the backfield on Wednesday.
Dude's an All-American. Get him in there.
Right. All-American return, man. And, you know, Texas will be – most of the offense is going to look like it did against A&M. The only other difference is DeAndre Moore won't be there. But, you know, Ryan Wingo, Emmett Mosley, Parker Livingston, you'll have your other three top receivers. Jack Injuries will be your tight end. You know, all five of your offensive linemen will be there. Like, DJ Campbell's not opting out of this game, even though he's going pro. Cole Hudson, not opting out of this game. So you'll have your five offensive linemen. Obviously, you'll have Arch Manning at quarterback. So the real big difference that you'll have offensively is just your running back room is kind of flipped on its head right now.
That it is.
So opportunity for some young guys. Look, Texas, there's nothing Christian Clark or James Simon can do in this game that's going to prevent Texas from going to get a number one running back. But, you know, could one of those guys do enough in this game to prevent Texas from feeling like they need to go get a number two running back? Perhaps. That's the case. Because, again, the plan was bring in a number one and have Trey Wisner as your number two. That plan's out the window. So now you've got to wonder, is Texas going to look for a backup in the portal? Or are they just going to say that, you know, Clark, Simon, Terry, plus the two guys we're bringing in, like somebody in that group's going to have to step up. And that's
the one that they're bringing in from Florida. You got to see how good he is.
Well, you can't until.
I mean, you'll see him in the spring.
Right. But there's no portal window after the spring anymore. It's only one portal window. So you got to make that decision in January before you're going to get.
Yeah, I got to trust him. If you recruited him here, which I can't trust anyway, but because you've recruited a couple that aren't here any longer that you thought were going to be with you that aren't here. So you got to hit on one. You got to hit on a couple of those. You can't just be recruiting guys that are five stars that don't make it. I mean, how you do that? How the hell are you doing that?
Right.
What are you looking at?
Yeah. You know, Christian Clark was a four-star. James Simon, a 3 to 4-star, depending on which site you looked at.
Once again, Christian Clark was like Baxter. These guys are coming off not just injuries, but major injuries. I mean, injuries that even if just for them to be on the field the following year, it was amazing. And to be on the field that early was just unbelievable. but they weren't, like you said, they were going to be. They weren't Barry, not you, but others have said, oh, this is not a Barry Sanders looking guy or, you know, Bijan Robinson. No, it's not even close.
Yeah. Deshaun Choice really hoed us, for lack of a better word.
Yeah. I mean, really.
We'll never know.
That guy looked like a one-legged Bijan, maybe.
Right. Yeah, we'll never know, because you know those comments that Coach Choice made were before the Achilles tear for Christian Clark. So, but he did compare him to Bijan Robinson and say he had Bijan-like traits. So obviously, we're like, oh, okay, sweet. We'll take another one of those. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but when they started talking about Cedric Baxter coming back, you know, he's ready to go, and he looks fantastic. No, he didn't. His lateral movement wasn't there. He couldn't get out of anybody's way. He was a straight line runner. And I know that you were hoping that it was going to be different. And you're impressed by him getting on the field early. But him getting on the field early was – he didn't have what he had. He didn't have that burst. It wasn't there.
And obviously Baxter's gone. And Texas has that decision to make with Christian Clark, again, as the number two running back. Like, okay, it'll be 2 years removed from that Achilles tear and surgery. Yes. Are you going to trust that – all right, just more time away means that Clark will be closer to the guy that you were bringing in out of high school? Or are you like, nah, that's damaged goods and it's too damaged. We got to bring in a second running back here. Obviously, it's not just Christian Clark. It's, you know, you look at James Simon and everybody else on your team. But that's a decision facing the coaching staff that before last Friday wasn't facing the coaching staff.
Well, I mean, you got to go look for two. I mean, there are other kids that are at other programs would just like to come to this program and be a running back. And if you think they're good enough, it's not like you got to pay a bunch of money. They just like to come and play in the SEC.
That's it. That's you know, it.
Like, and they may turn out to be pretty damn good.
You're talking about a role player with the number two / complimentary back. You don't pay those guys key player monies.
Those are the guys that want to come here and play at this level.
Right. Yeah, you may have to pay a little bit, but you ain't paying them what Trey Wisner was asking for.
No.
So if you could find a running back with some college experience to serve as your number two and be the guy that you were hoping Trey Wisner was going to be, then
now, I watched the kid from North Texas play. He looks like running back / get out of the backfield guy. He's kind of, what is he, a 180 guy, 190 guy? He wasn't a big back.
6'2", 200.
Yeah, he's kind of tall. He's kind of tall, lean-looking guy. Like I said, he looked like a wide receiver almost.
So he's a big back.
Would take a punt. You know, he's kind of an upright guy. He'd take a little bit of a punishment in the SEC, but he'll learn in a hurry.
Well, I think of Ahmad Hardy, right?
And he had a lot of carries. Hardy was one thing he did is he had a lot of carries, so he could take.
A lot of carries. Yeah, Ahmad Hardy was Missouri's running back this year. 1,649 yards, which was second in the country, and 16 touchdowns, which was top five in the country. He was a beast. He was the best player for Mizzou here this year. You know where he played his college football last year, 2024? ULM. He had a great freshman season at Louisiana Monroe, 1,300 yards, 13 touchdowns. Mizzou took a chance on him. It's like, that's a big step up in class going from the Fun Belt to the SEC.
Sure.
And it worked. So not everybody's going to be Ahmad Hardy. I understand that. Just because that happened once doesn't guarantee that Caleb Hawkins could be that. But I'd look into him. I mean, Jaden Ball is the top choice. There's no doubt because he's already done it in the SEC. But if Ball stays in Florida, nothing you can do about that.
No.
Caleb Hawkins, I think, is the top rated running back in the portal right now. So that is absolutely a guy that I would take a look at.
Right down the road from you? Hell yeah.
I played at UNT. Freshman year. I think he's from Oklahoma, funny enough. So we'll see if the Sooners are going to try to get involved with that one. But yeah, it can work. Obviously, you always have questions, any position, a guy going up from lower level to the SEC. But there is an example of that working in the SEC from last year to this year.
Yeah, by the way, Michigan does have a brand new coach.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Kyle Whittingham taking over. Obviously, he won't be coaching against Texas on Wednesday.
I smelled that one coming a couple of weeks ago, and I said, what about winning? What about that dude to Michigan? That just sounds like a guy who can really go and stabilize what they're trying to do. I don't know. Hey, but we're looking into everybody's actions here at the athletic department at Michigan. So,
oh,
you know, we're not, sure. he's not, you know, they're literally looking for dirt. So, and they will look hard at that. But I think that's a great get for them.
Yeah, I don't.
Five years is about, you know, he may last three and say, you know what, I'm not going to make it till five, or this is not. I still don't have the oomph I had at Utah. It's not the same, but that's a pretty good pickup right there for them.
I think it's an okay hire. I mean, Kyle Whittingham is a very accomplished head coach. If this hiring was happening 10 years ago, I would say it's a very good hire, but we're talking about a guy who's 66 years old. I think his best coaching days are behind him. And I don't know.
Well, they need somebody to stabilize their program. Their athletic program runs around, you know, a team that wasn't long ago played and won a national championship. They need to stabilize that they're an honest, righteous program. And now they've got a guy who's been around it, you know, in the coaching ranks for a long, long time. I don't think that guy's about winning national championship. Although he says he's about, you know, that would be the pinnacle, obviously, for him is in the next 5 years to win one. I don't know if he'll do that, but I think he'll stabilize that program. That'll be another great job for some younger guy to have.
Yeah.
And he'll do a good enough job.
Yeah, I agree with you there in terms of stabilization, in terms of righteousness. Is that another word you use? Like, Kyle Whittingham's a good, clean-cut guy who hasn't had any sort of scandals close to what Sharon Moore or Jim Harbaugh had during their time at Michigan. I'm a little surprised that Michigan's doing this. You know, all the cheating has worked so well for them. I figured they would.
Would they just find another cheater?
I was going to say, like, now they're acting like they actually care about their image. You know, the one time they've been able to win a national championship this century.
Well, they're paying him some good coin, too, there for the 5 years.
Yeah. No, it's – and look, for Whittingham, I mean, it was interesting, right? He stepped down at Utah. And maybe all of this was in the works behind the scenes.
I think it had to be because, you know, he never said that I'm done coaching.
Right. Yeah, but like – he said he was stepping down before Sharon Moore got fired.
Right.
And all that stuff came out. Now, again, Michigan had known about the Sharon Moore stuff for months. They just didn't do anything about it. None of us knew about it. So maybe they were already having those back channel conversations with Kyle Whittingham to where it's like, hey, dude, announce that you're stepping down so we can make this all work in the offseason. I don't know. But you're right. Like, for the regular season, when it was Whittingham's last year, it just felt like he was going to retire. But as soon as the season ended and he stepped down, it was like, no, I'm not done coaching.
They gave you what you call a retirement package for the rest of your life.
Yeah. Well, exactly. He's getting that at Michigan, right?
Yeah.
That's what you mean? Yeah.
So, yeah. They offered him a retirement package. If you can hang in there for 5 years or more, you don't have to worry about your retirement plans. We got you all straightened out now.
Yeah, Whittingham was the second longest tenured head coach when he left Utah.
And if you need a second or third wife, everything is cool.
Is he a multi-wife guy?
You just can't have that at Michigan right now because we're trying to clean this whole thing up.
Yeah, we're trying to clean this whole thing up. Yeah, I saw that like someone did the research and did the digging, and Kyle Whittingham follows like five women on Instagram, and they're all people he's related to. Like when the Sharon Moore stuff came out, everyone looked at his social media and found that he was following all these porn stars and actresses and models Sweeters. And all these hot chicks. Yeah, he'd obviously been DMing a bunch of them too, allegedly. With Kyle Whittingham.
During games.
That guy is seemingly as clean cut as you could possibly be.
Yes.
That's from that standpoint, it's a total 180 for Michigan. But yeah, Kyle Whittingham taking over for the Wolverines. Again, he's not going to coach the Keys at Citrus Bowl. I'm sure he'll be there in Orlando. I'm sure he'll be on the sideline watching his new team, but it will be Biff Poggi, the interim coach, who was named the interim guy right after Sharon Moore lost his gig earlier in the month. He will be coaching for the Wolverines. Again, they don't have their offensive coordinator. That guy is already gone as well. They have a couple of key players opting out. So it's a mess, dude. Texas, a 7.5-point favorite right now. I don't really know how you can handicap this game, to be quite honest with you. Texas obviously has more stability on its coaching staff because they have the head coach, but the Longhorns have lost members of their coaching staff. They've lost a bunch of players, more players, as a matter of fact, than the Wolverines have. So I don't know. I don't really know what to make of this game. Hopefully Texas wins. It'd be nice.
Yeah, I just need them to be poaching some of those offensive linemen from Michigan.
Yeah, the name.
They got some young guys. And once again, they got some young guys that probably, you know, you're going to get a chance to go against, you know, in that game, but you're going to get, I don't know how that works with the practice tape, but you're going to get game tape of some of those younger players from Michigan, but you're not going to get the daily practice stuff unless you go, spy on your practices.
Connor Stallions, what's he got on these days?
You're right there.
Yeah. Yeah, Malachi Lee is the name that is worth bringing up again. He's a signee. He has not played at Michigan or enrolled at Michigan, but he was a part of their 26 class who signed with the Wolverines like a week before Sherrone Moore got canned. Texas was the runner-up in his recruitment. So if he's like pissed off that he got lied to, hoodwinked, bamboozled, whatever you want to say, then I think Texas has a very good chance to get him. But look, Whittingham's a good hire. He's regarded as a very good hire, I think. And, you know, I do believe part of the reason why Michigan went to him is they feel like he can keep a lot of those guys around. Guys who would have potentially transferred if they didn't like the hire, maybe they'll consider sticking around because Kyle Whittingham has won as many games as he's won as a college football head coach.
Yeah, I mean, I look at him. I know they say 5 years, but I look at him on an interim basis more than a guy who's going to be around past the 5 year. I mean, if he gets to 5 years, that's great, but he may burn out. You know, if he really had retirement on his mind, even on his mind, you get about 3 years into the Michigan deal and you're getting the pressure of the Ohio State and some of that, you're liable to say, you know what? I don't know if I'm going to make it to a full five, or I'll make it a full five, but you're not going to get very much out of me. They may be looking, as I said, just to stabilize the program, and after about 3 years, find somebody else pretty quickly.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Michigan's got a tough schedule next year. They've got Oklahoma early on. I think they've got Indiana next year. They've got Ohio State, obviously, at the end of the year. That'll be a road game for them. They've got a road game at Oregon next season as well. So, yeah, you talk about a gauntlet. A Big Ten, there's not a ton of great teams in the Big Ten, but obviously it's pretty top-heavy. You know, Ohio State and Oregon are in Indiana. They're awesome. They're all still in the college football playoff. You got to play all three of those teams, plus Oklahoma in the non-con. Good luck, Kyle Whittingham, with that year one schedule.
BK, my early thoughts on Oregon, Texas Tech is I like Texas Tech to beat Oregon.
Okay.
You like that? I mean, you don't think that would be a big surprise, would it?
No, I think it's like a 1 to 2 point line. So okay. I think a lot of people are leaning Texas Tech in that one. We're going to need your gold star. Are you out tomorrow? Should I ask you before the show?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to need your gold star locks for the playoff today. You only had one gold star lock over the long weekend and you missed it. It was Louisville in their bowl game. They did win by 5. They were 8.5-point favorites.
Why? I just said before we even thought about that, why did I should never bet on Louisville. They're, forget about them.
Yeah, I don't know. You bet on them. You were talking trash about the MAC. They're playing Toledo, and the MAC got you back. Return of the MAC, Mark Morrison.
There's got to be some more of those MAC bowl games coming up too.
And you've got one bowl game today. You got an NFL game tonight. You've got a bowl game today.
What's the NFL game? What's the big one tonight?
It's Rams at Falcons. LA is a 7-point road favorite.
I'll take the Rams for 50,000 units right now.
You got to get the people back to the green, sir. You're down right now.
I'll take the Rams for 50,000 units. What's that other deal that's playing tonight?
I mean, you got playoff games to choose from, too. Your college game today is at 1 o'clock. It's Georgia Southern against App State.
I'm going to pass on that one.
Soft. You've got, all the playoff games to choose from. You've got some other good non-playoff bowl games coming up this week. Anything you want? Oregon's -2.5, by the way, against Texas Tech. You want the Red Raiders?
I'll take the Red Raiders for 50,000 units.
Okay. You've got the other playoff games, Indiana, Alabama, Ohio State, Miami, Ole Miss, Georgia.
I'll take Ohio State for 100,000 units.
All right. The Buckeyes are giving 9.5 against Miami. Not enough. Double-digit Buckeye win?
Double-digit Buckeye win, yes.
Okay. Alabama, Indiana, the Hoosiers 7-point favorites. Georgia, Ole Miss, the Bulldogs 6.5-point favorites.
I'll take Georgia for 150,000 unit play.
Big play on the dogs. All right. Ole Miss will not be eating the dogs. Is that what I'm hearing?
They will not be eating the dogs.
They're eating the dogs.
Yeah, I don't think that's happening,
Mr. President. Okay. Anything on the Rose Bowl? Bama, Indiana?
I'll take Indy for 25,000 units.
All right. Going with the favorite there. Okay. Now you've got.
Yeah, I got some units.
Nothing on Texas, Michigan?
No.
Nothing on Iowa, Vanderbilt?
Is there anybody caring about that?
Well, a lot of people's cousins, I think, will be caring a lot about Texas covering 7.5 Wednesday afternoon. These games are so hard to bet on, these non-playoff bowl games. You just, with the opt-outs and the coaching changes and
I know
who cares and who doesn't. Who knows? Who knows how to handicap? I mean, I like a fully healthy Texas team, I think, is better than a fully healthy Michigan team.
Yes.
Like I would pick, if both of these teams are at 100%, players, coaches, everything, I would pick Texas to win and cover 7.5 against Michigan.
Who are they going to turn and hand the ball off to? That's the thing for Texas. Who are they going to hand it off? We know Michigan is going to run the ball like mad.
Right. Well, they're without one of their top two running backs, but
yeah, and they're going to try to showcase that quarterback who can't throw. They got $10 million last year.
They're down an offensive lineman. They're down like three of their best defensive linemen. Obviously down their head coach and offensive coordinator. They're down a DB. I mean, it's totally different teams. So feels very difficult to predict.
That's just, you know, blue bloods playing each other. That's just fun right there, though.
Blue bloods playing each other. We'll see.
And nice warm weather.
I've been waking up feeling a little cheesier these last couple of days.
Oh, have you? Oh, boy.
You got a hunch tomorrow and Wednesday I'll be feeling really cheesy.
I think I'll wait for that. I'm going to have to put something on the horns game. It's a bowl game. It's not like we're not going to the national championship. Yes, I'll wait, but I'll wait on that.
It's your last show before the game. Oh, I guess
that's right.
We are doing a pregame show on Wednesday.
I'll give it on the pregame show and make it count and make it stick.
All right. We do have a show tomorrow, regular programming, but the Buck will not be on the morning show. But
make that stick tomorrow.
Yeah, Wednesday pre and post game, before and after, obviously, the Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl. And it's the schedule for the next few days here on TSU. So there you go. Your gold star lock.
So, BK, they are calling it the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. Is that what it is?
The Cheez-It Citrus Bowl.
Love it. Been there. Love that. Love that bowl game.
You been to the Citrus Bowl or the Cheez-It Bowl?
Not the Cheez-It, the Citrus Bowl.
I've been
to the Citrus Bowl twice. I think I went once with Illinois and once with Boston College. And one time we played Georgia at Boston College.
Okay, how'd that go?
We worked them.
You worked them?
Yes.
Another reason Texas should have hired you for their coaching staff. You know how to beat Georgia.
That's right.
Why didn't you say that when they were looking for a new running backs coach?
Oh, I forgot. I do know how to beat Georgia.
Well, that's what we're looking for. That's part of the reason why we hired Will Muschamp, trying to find ways to beat Georgia.
Don't know how to beat Auburn.
Okay.
Play them in a bowl game.
Auburn, they suck.
Don't need me for that.
No, you could have you, me, and 10 of our listeners on the staff, and no problem beating Auburn. Bunch of bums.
I watched the Clemson game yesterday. I think it was yesterday.
Saturday.
Yeah.
Penn State, Clemson, what a lot of people thought was going to be the national championship in college football this year.
Pinstripe Bowl.
Like the Bad Boy Mowers Pinstripe Bowl.
The 12-degree weather in Yankee Stadium. Oh, was that horrible.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Yeah, some good bowl games over the weekend if you were watching. Houston and LSU played a good one down in H-Town. BYU and Georgia Tech and the Pop-Tarts Bowl. That's become the most hilarious bowl game that we have in the sport. The Snoop Dogg Bowl went on recently. Snoop Dogg actually caught a kickoff in the end zone while he was broadcasting the game, which was pretty ridiculous to see.
Are we still doing holiday bowls from San Diego? Because that's important.
Yeah, we got all the bowls going on here. Sun Bowl coming up.
Yeah, baby.
That's also on the 31st, the same day Texas plays.
One of the best bowl trips in America.
Yeah. So there's a lot of football going on. If you care about these games, you got a lot to watch this week, and it's going away before you know it. I mean, we've hit week 18 of the NFL season. So the NFL's regular season wraps up this weekend, and obviously college football, we're into the second round, the quarterfinal round of the CFP. So
I did like the way your Texans played though the other day.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Let's give some sponsor shout outs, but we'll dive into the NFL again. More Texas conversation. We got some sound from Kyle Flood to get to as well from out in Orlando, but some NFL to discuss. Quinn Ewers picking up his first career win. The Texans back in the playoffs, and
Minnesota Vikings got a win. By the way, the Queens did get a win. I know it doesn't matter because they're not going anywhere, but they did win their last football.
Oh, they beat the Lions.
Yeah, yes, they did.
They knocked them out of the playoffs.
How bad have the Lions looked over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, what a disaster. They beat up on the Cowboys, but they keep losing to everybody else. So
yeah, well, we're talking about the Cowboys now.
You're right.
Folks, if you're seeking that specialized patient-focused orthopedic care, do contact our friends and experts at Texas Orthopedics. Their physicians offer comprehensive surgical and non-surgical orthopedic care for children and adults. So if you've had anything happen to those ankles and those hips and those knees over the holidays, please call our friends at Texas Orthopedics. Joint replacement, trauma care, rheumatology, and more. Dr. Danny, Dr. Stockton, orthopedic surgeons. They're dedicated orthopedic surgeons there. Their goal is to get you right back into good health and the great quality of life that you deserve. Texas Orthopedics is the largest independent orthopedic practice in the state of Texas. For more information, go to txortho.com.
Yes, indeed. And a shout out to McCall Custom Homes as well. If you're looking to upgrade your home in the new year, do it with the best in the business. McCall Custom Homes, locally owned and operated. It's a father-son team that's been around Central Texas for more than 40 years. Tons of experience. And again, all of that experience has happened right here in our own backyard. So they know what it takes to turn a Central Texas home into something truly, truly special. You want to remodel a kitchen. You want to renovate a bathroom. Maybe you've got a growing family. You need to add on to your home. They can do that. They're also custom home builders as well. So if you want to start from scratch, McCall Custom Homes, top quality. They're affordable. They're insured. They're licensed. They're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Tons of five-star reviews online. The Buck has had work done at his place by McCall. Rodney has had work done at his place by McCall. We trust our homes to McCall Custom Homes. You should too. McCall Custom Homes, ATX.com. Right now they're offering free estimates to TSU listeners, or you can reach out to Mike McCall directly. Good dude, big Longhorn fan, big time TSU listener. 512-633-9580. It's McCall Custom Homes. We build value into your home.
Yeah, what a good guy Mike is. He celebrating his birthday. He's out at HSB, out at Horseshoe Bay, and celebrating, he and his wife celebrated his birthday. And last week, I had an emergency at my home. Something happened with my little pump house. The faucet thing on the outside, a little spigot there, came off, BK, and it was just gushing out water, gushing out from my well. And I was on my way to play golf. I was almost at Horseshoe Bay Resort myself, getting ready to play golf. I called Mike. He came to my house, went into the garage, and cut off the well. I mean, it was just that thing. I mean, that thing would have, I mean, been out there for hours and hours of just going. I made a call to him. He jumped over the fence, came, got into the garage, and cut that off. I mean, that's what kind of guy he is. Because I would have known where to go. He'll be out tomorrow to redo the well house, the pump house, and show us that exactly where we can cut things off if any emergency ever comes up again. He knows everything about your home, believe me.
Is that all an innuendo? You keep talking about this pump house and your pipes not working. What is in gushing? It's
the pump house where the water goes from the well to the tank, from the tank to the pump house, and to the pump house to my regular, to my home. That thing, the little faucet on the side of that thing had plastic, was made out of PC, whatever it is, pipe, and it cracked and exploded. He came over, cut it off, cut off the system in the house. My wife was gone, cut off the system in the garage, got in there and replaced and went and then got the plumbing deal part done and is coming back tomorrow to make sure we can cut off everything at the pump house instead of having to go in the garage. I mean, that guy will tell you everything you need to know, whether it's about electricity in your home. Here's what you need to do if you got a fan that's not working or a light that's never worked. That guy knows where the systems are, so he is the guy to call on. He is awesome.
Okay, so your wife was gone, so you took Mike to the pump house instead.
No. This stuff happens. Yeah. You got to have somebody you can call on, knows everything about homes, and he is the dude.
Yep. Got to have someone for the pump house at all times. I agree. Yes.
Got to keep that pumping going.
I know Mike is going to love that. So shout out to him.
Speaking of pumps, how about this? Weighed in on a couple days ago, 159.3.
Whoa.
Yes. Wife made stew. My wife made, she's great at lasagna. Well, she made some stew, some homemade stew with potatoes in there. And, of course, the beef and carrots. Well, I've been living on that stew, BK, and I took some of the potatoes out yesterday, and I put it over mashed potatoes. And I've got a couple more days of that stew, and then into the lasagna. I'm almost there. 159.3.
Your goal is 160, right?
No.
Now you're starting your New Year's resolution before the new year.
Well, I've been holding on. I've been saying I'm going to get to 160 since the summertime. So.
No, since last year. That was your New Year's resolution.
Oh, it was last year.
25. And now, hey, like 3 days left, you're almost there. You almost got there.
Yeah, but I got to keep eating that stew. I got to keep 3 meals a day. Got to be careful of the sweets. Love the ice cream, but got to watch out for that.
Fat. He's fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, putting stew over mashed potatoes and adding some corn to that. Got to have that corn. Oh, yeah.
I'll tell you what. If you eat 3 meals a day and you have ice cream as dessert for all three of those meals, you are going to get to 160 before New Year's. You're going to put on one more pound before the calendar flips to 2026.
Yeah, plus you got to work out behind that stuff, though. You can't.
No, I mean, that's not going to guarantee you. If you're just trying to add weight.
Yes.
You don't need to be doing cardio. You don't need to be going on walks around the neighborhood. You don't need to be doing treadmill stuff. You're just trying to get to 160.
What about if I'm hitting that bench, though? What about if I hit those?
Sure.
Hitting that bench, yeah.
That'll be good. Yeah, pack on some muscle to go with that fat. I like it.
Yeah, man. It felt good. I got on that scale, and I saw that. I'm like, that's got to be wrong. I couldn't have put on that much weight from eating all that mashed potatoes and stuff.
You're also wearing a winter coat over a three-piece
suit. No. I actually took my shoes off. I kept my pants on, took my shoes off. You know, because if I got the shoes on with my big ass feet, I'd get that pound pretty easy.
Is this back to the pump house? Oh, okay.
No, we're out of the pump.
Oh, my bad. Oh, man. All right. Shout out to the McCalls. Also, shout out to Hecht Law Firm, Ryan Hurricane Hecht, the best and your go-to personal injury attorney here in Central Texas. Look, I hope you never need Hurricane Hecht, right? I hope you never get into a car wreck. I hope you never get injured on the job. And I hope nobody that you know or cares about ever has anything bad happen to them. Unfortunately, it happens in life. People get into car wrecks. People get injured on the job. Sometimes you need a personal injury attorney who's going to fight to get you the money that you deserve. You don't want to fight those insurance companies by yourself. You got enough to deal with trying to get your life back on track. Hurricane Hecht is the very best at what he does. He's been a personal friend of mine for more than a decade. He's been fighting for justice and big results here in Central Texas for a decade. He's not wasting his time filming TV commercials and hosting podcasts and standing on top of cars and doing weird stuff because he's in the courtroom fighting for his clients. That's what he's going to do for you. He's compassionate with clients, but in the courtroom, I'm telling you, he is a junkyard dog fighting to get you every dollar that you deserve. And the best part, you don't pay unless he wins your case. Give him a call, 512-938-8929 or hechtlawfirm.com for more info. That's H-E-C-H-T lawfirm.com for Ryan Hurricane Hecht.
Love him.
All right, little NFL conversation. We will start with the Houston Texans, Buck. The Texans clinched a playoff spot with their 20-16 victory over the LA Chargers of Anaheim on Saturday. Once again, Buck, the Texans defense, the story of the game. 5 sacks of Justin Herbert. The Chargers had just 275 yards of offense. Herbert never got comfortable. Amarian Hampton only had 29 yards rushing. And for the Texans, their offense got off to that fast start at a 75-yard touchdown pass from Stroud to Higgins on the first possession, at a 43-yard touchdown from Stroud to Noel on their second possession. It was 14-0 5 minutes in, and you're thinking this might be 40-0.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the Texans' offense reverted back to what they usually are, not good. And the Chargers came back, but the Texans' defense obviously did enough to preserve the victory, and that's 8 straight wins for Houston. And with that defense, Buck, we keep saying it. It's worth repeating. They got a shot to make some noise in the postseason.
Yeah, if they can, you know, if they can consistently, not consistently run, because they can't consistently run the ball. If they can run the ball just a little bit, BK, if they can get their, if they can get that 110 yards of rushing, they'll be fine. They're switching back and forth with Marks and the other guy, like the walk-on dude now that comes in the game. They have like two guys. Like two walk-on dudes.
Yeah, Woody Marsh, the rookie, came back from injury, had been banged up, missed the Raiders game, but did play, led the Texans, 19 carries, 71 yards. And Jawar Jordan, you're calling him the walk-on?
Yeah.
He was a practice squad guy like 2 weeks ago. So yeah, that's
been
fair.
Pretty good.
Yeah, 8 carries for 36 yards for him. He has been really good. Obviously, no Joe Mixon for the Texans. Nick Chubb has been dealing with some injuries and some inconsistent.
You've already got what you can get out of Nick Chubb. He did, you know, last year and this year. That guy's at the end of his career, and you really got a lot out of that dude. I'd never expected him to be still this good at this time of his career.
Yeah. And he is. And also, I mean, we got a, you know, Dicker the kicker, most accurate kicker in NFL history, missed a chip shot field goal at the end of the first half.
Yes, he did.
And missed an extra point in the second half. Oh, Chargers lost by 4. Do the math.
Come on, Dicker, get down there and just start kicking the ball.
The Texans have been really good, obviously, but they've also been very fortunate with kickers this year. Feels like every kicker has their worst game against the Texans, which you take it. No problems there if you're a Houston fan. But Dicker, never misses. He's missing chippies left and right. And you'll take it when you're trying to win on the road in the NFL. Sometimes you need a couple of things to break your way, and that's what happened. So, huge win for the Texans, who just they continue to stack the wins. Again, 8 in a row. The Texans started the year 0-3. They clinched a playoff spot. The Texans are the first team in NFL history, Buck. Remember, they haven't been around all that long. First team in NFL history to have multiple years where they've started 0-3 and still made the playoffs. That's so rare for anybody to do once. There are a lot of teams that have never done it once. The Texans, again, the first team to do it twice in their history. So what a comeback by them, D'Amico Ryan, C.J. Stroud, everybody. And now the Texans, Jacksonville keeps winning too.
Yes.
So the Texans have locked up a playoff spot, but they still trail the Jags by one game in the AFC South. Obviously, there's only 1 week left in the NFL season. The Texans need to beat the Colts on Sunday, but they also need the Jags to lose to Tennessee. Otherwise, the Texans will be a wild card team starting on the road.
Yeah, we need Phillip Rivers to be quarterback in that last game where he's standing there like a statue.
We'll see. Yeah, there were rumors. I was watching the end of the Colts game yesterday and rumors that Phillip Rivers just won't play in week 18 because, you know, the Colts are out of it. So see what you got with the young guy, because Phillip Rivers obviously is not a part of the long-term plans for Indy. No. But yeah, the Colts, they went 0-3. They've lost 6 in a row and 7 of 8.
I know. And they look, it's hard to watch them now.
Started the year 7-1, looked like a lock for the postseason. They started falling apart. Then Daniel Jones gets hurt. I thought Phillip Rivers played pretty well, like a lot better than I expected him to play. Is it here? Make it sound like he was.
And the thing about him is, you know, he gets rid of the ball really, really quick, but there are those little plays that you need to be a little bit of an athlete where you can escape and run down the field for a first down for like 4 yards. He can't get to it.
No. Yeah. Even in his prime, he wasn't the best of athletes. No. When the most mobile.
But now you look, I'm looking at him play. I'm like, dude, you need 3 yards for a first down. You're in the pocket. Just go and run. He can't get there quick enough.
Yeah, you're right. He's got his limitations. Again, I'm just happy he stayed healthy. Like, we all thought that guy was going to get broken in his first game.
Oh, yeah, I thought he'd get a knee or somebody hit him from the blind side, and we'd be reading about him in the hospital. He will be in concussion protocol for the rest of his life, you know? Right.
And he had to play his 3 games. He had to play the Seahawks, the Niners, and the Jaguars.
I know.
3 playoff teams with great defenses. And if he plays this week, it'll be against the Texans. The best defense and a playoff team. So, I'm happy he stayed healthy. Good for him. It was a good story. Shoot,
man. The story for me in the NFL is we're still talking about the Panthers, Tampa Bay. Yeah. The freaking Saints are on a little bit of a roll now. The Jaguars. I'm like, that whole group of teams, they're no good. And they ended up playing pretty well as the season goes on. The Saints have like four straight wins, don't they?
Well, I don't know why you'd put the Jaguars in that grouping. The Jaguars are a 12-win football team. I think they're better than those other teams that you talked about. But yeah, the Saints, I mean, they're 6-10. They have won four in a row.
Pretty good for their first year coach.
Last two wins against the Jets and the Titans. They're just costing.
And that's the kid from Texas Tech is their quarterback, right?
Tyler Shuck.
Yeah. What the Shuck?
Yeah. He started his career at Texas Tech and then he transferred to
eight other places.
I think he started at Oregon actually, then transferred to Tech, then finished at Louisville. He was drafted out of Louisville in the second round. Tyler Shuck has been winning some games, keeping his job for at least one more year because now the Saints don't have a high enough draft pick to draft replacement. Good strategy there. Week 18, the Cowboys won, by the way, on Christmas, if anybody cares. That game.
Why are they trying to win games? What's wrong with them?
Yeah, I mean, like, I looked. There's not a huge grouping of teams around them in terms of records. So, like, the Cowboys, if they lost their last two games instead of, you know, winning against Washington, they play the Giants this week, so they could easily win that one, too. I think their draft slot would be, like, three picks higher. So it's not like a difference between 14 and 5. It's like, what are you doing? It's like maybe 14 and 12, 14 and 13. So there's no – I'm not going to sit here and argue that winning is that great, but it's not like they're really hurting themselves that much by
– Does Dak play – will they play Dak in this final game?
I think so. I mean, he played against Washington. Again, they had nothing to play for.
Sure.
And Dak, you know, took every snap at quarterback for the Cowboys, so – If the year ended today, the Cowboys would have the 14th and 21st picks in the draft. Of course, they have the Packers pick. Green Bay's in the playoffs, but they don't look like they're going to stick around the playoffs very long.
No, I don't even know if Jordan Love's going to.
Yeah, they are so banked up. Jordan Love, obviously Micah Parsons, will not be back for the playoffs with that ACL. They can't get any pass rush without him. Yeah. Sounds like the Cowboys, huh? So there you go. Quinn Ewers, by the way, before we get to week 18 and just kind of what's at stake in the final week of the NFL regular season, congrats to Quinn Ewers, the lifetime Longhorn, picking up his first career NFL win. And you talked about Tampa Bay falling off a cliff. Miami 20, Tampa Bay 17. Quinn Ewers 14 of 22, 172 yards, two touchdowns, zero turnovers in his first career win. Made some big throws down the stretch, too, to help put that game on ice. So congrats to Quinn Ewers for first of hopefully many NFL wins for him.
Yeah, he's going to get a real opportunity now there.
We'll see. I mean, he's going to start their last game. I don't know what the future holds for anybody with that Dolphins organization. Like, is McDaniel back at head coach?
I don't know if it'll be a surprise, but I think they let him loose.
Yeah, I think that would make sense if they did. And then, you know, is there anything Quinn Ewers can do? Even if Quinn Ewers were to throw for like 300 yards and four touchdowns this week, like if you're a new coach, do you want to start your tenure with a seventh round guy going into year two as your quarterback?
No, you'd start Tua until he lost his first three.
Oh, I ain't starting Tua. I'm getting rid of that dude.
Until he lost his first three.
Oh, my. If you're telling me it's Quinn or Tua, I'm taking Quinn. Because, like, all right, if Quinn sucks, then he'll be really bad, and we'll get a super high draft pick, and we'll draft Arch Manning. How funny would that be if he and Quinn end up on the same team? The Dolphins play at the Patriots next week. Patriots just wrapped up the division.
They're done. They don't have anything to play for.
I guess.
They'll still win.
They got seeding to play for in the AFC, I think. I got to double check that. But yeah, Quinn, congrats to him. He'll get one more start, and then I don't know what his future holds. But he's played pretty well in both games, I thought, especially this game in the win over a potential playoff team with Tampa Bay. So what's at stake week 18, Buck? There are only two playoff spots up for grabs. It's the AFC North and the NFC South. Mm-hmm. We're looking for a division winner. The Pittsburgh Steelers lost in Cleveland yesterday.
Yeah, they were too worried about the Myles Garrett sacking the damn quarterback.
All they had to do was beat the lowly Cleveland Browns, and they would have clinched a playoff spot. Instead, they lose, and now they have a Sunday night game. It'll be the last game of the regular season. It's been announced at home against Baltimore. Winner to the playoffs, loser to the couch.
Yeah, I don't like the way that Pittsburgh went about that game. There's too much about Myles Garrett. sacking Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Rodgers seeing him out of the corner of his eye the whole game and not getting the ball. And plus, Metcalf has got to sit out another game.
That's huge, right? The Steelers just don't have a difference maker on the outside without DK. You know, they're throwing fade routes to Marquez Valdez-Scantling.
Yeah, him and Aaron Rodgers are pointing at each other all game. Aaron Rodgers is going like, you suck. I mean, it's awful.
Yeah, they didn't score. Cleveland's got a very good defense, but come on. All you got to do is beat the Browns, and you're in the playoffs, and you can't do it. Baltimore, meanwhile, they beat Green Bay. Derrick Henry, their whole offense was just hand that dude the rock. Lamar Jackson, questionable for next Sunday. I don't know if he's going to play. That's what questionable means. It's just going to be Derrick Henry toting the rock 40 times.
And Huntley running down the field another 10 times.
It'll be that against Pittsburgh. And then your NFC South, you've got Carolina, who lost yesterday, against Tampa Bay, who loses all the time. That game in Tampa, same thing. Winner to the postseason, loser to Cancun.
Poor Tampa Bay, boy. When they hit the skids, they really hit it.
Yeah, I mean, I know the game's in Tampa. I don't think Carolina's very good, but I don't know how you can be confident in this 7-9 Bucks team. Tampa wins, by the way, they'll be sub 500, and they'll be hosting a playoff game, which continues to be the worst rule in the NFL, that we let crappy division winners host playoff games over much better. Like, the loser of San Francisco, Seattle, or LA is going to be the 5 seed. They might have 12 wins, and they'll have to play on the road.
On the road, yeah.
8-win Tampa Bay team in round one because this ridiculous format that we have in the NFL. What are we doing? I don't get it, but that's what you've got. And then
Francisco's playing lights out right now with all the injuries.
Yeah, what a game last night. I don't know if you stayed up for that.
No, I didn't make it up for that one.
Yeah, Niners, Bears coming down to the final second, the final play. Bears, Caleb Williams had a chance. The Bears down by 4, threw it into the end zone, incomplete. That game was back and forth, fun.
The Bears still suck.
Bears, I don't know if they suck, man.
Oh, a little change of heart there for the Bears.
Yeah. Well, they're 11-5. I mean, they're a playoff team. They clinched their division. I don't think they're a Super Bowl team. I don't think they're that good, but they're clearly different than what they have been.
That's for sure.
They went blow for blow with one of the best teams in the league on the road yesterday. Caleb Williams looked very good. The Bears just couldn't get stops. I mean, Brock Purdy and Caleb Williams, it was anything you can do, I can do better kind of.
How's Dan Campbell doing it, calling these plays now all of a sudden?
Well, the Lions are done, so not good.
Man. Yeah,
the Lions lost both of their coordinators. And Ben Johnson's a hell of a head coach. Aaron Glenn, not so much.
No.
He's with the Jets. Nobody's ever a good coach with the Jets. I don't know how much is on him. But, yeah, so those are your two playoff spots up for grabs next week, the AFC North and the NFC South. And then there's other games that are important for seeding. Obviously, again, the Texans can still win their division. They need some help. And there's a few other scenarios like that. You know, 1 seeds are still up for grabs in both conferences. You've got 2 seeds up for grabs in both conferences. So there's a lot for a lot of teams to play for. But again, 12 of the 14 postseason spots have been secured. 2 NFL games on Saturday. One of them will be the NFC South title. I think that's the Saturday afternoon game. And then a bunch of games on Sunday. No Monday night game next week.
That's it, right?
That's it. Yep. Monday night game tonight, and then Saturday and Sunday next week, and then we'll be off to the postseason.
Nice.
National Football League. All right. Quick sponsor shout out here to our friends at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. All of our gear, our hats, our shirts, our koozies, our posters, our everything made by Adam and his great team at Waterloo. If you have a business that needs merch, if you have a big event coming up that needs merch, signs, stickers, whatever. They do business cards as well. I mean, anything to help you and your business shine, reach out to Adam and his team at Waterloo Printing and Graphics. 512-300-9641. That is Adam's direct line. Give him a call, give him a text, and he will get you what you need very, very quickly.
Yes, and I'll be heading over to Hat Creek Burger, of course, this morning because the big man needs a double with cheese today. Keep that meat coming. Oh,
oof.
Pump house, keep the meat coming. Everything is working. Everything's in line right now for me to get to 160 or above. But I love my Hat Creek Burger. I'm going to tell my wife, but I am having a shake today.
Yeah,
I'm going to shake things up. No ice cream over the – I was very careful of the ice cream intake over the holidays. But when it's time for a little a banana pudding shake with a little cream on the top and a cherry. That's it today, along with the double with cheese. Big Hat's coming today with fries, large fries.
I love that. Yep. Shout out to Hat Creek Burger Company. You can never go wrong. Great chicken. No. They've got salads.
Oh, yeah. I love the salads, too.
Good breakfast at some of their locations, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Hat Creek is good stuff. All right, one bit of sound from Kyle Flood here, and then we'll get to some fun stories to wrap up the show. Kyle Flood. So we've not heard from Steve Sarkisian in Orlando yet, but we have heard from both coordinators. Kyle Flood, the offensive coordinator. Johnny Nansen, the interim defensive coordinator. Obviously, will coach the bowl game for Texas before Will Muschamp takes over there. But here is Kyle Flood talking about the transfers, everybody who's left the program, and what type of impact that's going to have for the Longhorns 2 days from now when they take the field against Michigan.
I think it is. I think this is something that everybody in college football is going to have to get adjusted to. You know, players are making decisions. Some players making the decision to move on and go into the draft, and then some other players making decisions that, you know, they're going to eventually go in the portal, you know, when that opens. But I think everybody's kind of navigating this in real time. It's not like you can call a coach from 5 years ago and say, hey, how did you guys do this? You know, it didn't exist back then. So we're all navigating it. I think what has helped us as a staff is the experience coming from the NFL and knowing how to practice with less players. So that part has been pretty seamless for us. So we kind of know how to do that. And then there's an exciting part to it as well, where you get some younger players who maybe didn't have as big a role during the regular season. Now their role gets to expand. And I think for us as coaches, that's really exciting, because not only does it give them a chance to impact the game this week, but you get a little glimpse maybe of what is coming in the future.
Yeah, I like to get the glimpse of what's coming in the future. I really, that's still not a lot of time that they get, you know, for this game. The guys have gone through the plays. The playbook doesn't change that much. You know, you just watch a lot of tape of the opposing team. But, I mean, it does give you that glimpse into the future when you can get some guys in and see them against real, you know, in competition. So that part is good for you. So, plus, and they're going to, like I said, they're not going to some bowl game. You know, they're on campus here. It's nice and warm. They're in good weather. It's not like going to Buckeye Land and being outside, or if you're in Indiana. I know you have an indoor facility, but some of those times you want to be outside a little bit. It's not quite the same. You know, you get a really good practices here. You're going to go to Orlando and get about four practices in there. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you get to really, you get to push a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. And Kyle Flood also talked about, like, well, because Texas has had 20 fewer scholarship players than they normally do, the coaches are able to keep everybody on the same field, right? Like, you don't have a scout team. Like, everybody's in the same spot working together, so the coaches are getting to watch every rep that every single player has. So you get – I mean, Texas is basically getting two spring practices this year. That's what this is. Like, the 15 practices they got in bowl prep, that's one, and obviously actual spring ball is another. So you're getting to see glimpses of what you have with those guys coming back in 2026, and I think there's some value in that. And obviously Kyle Flood does as well.
Yeah, and especially at his position, he needs to see as much as he can see.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? And, Kyle Flood was also asked about the depth chart. Like, it doesn't sound like Texas is going to be cheating this like a spring game. Like, they're starting five offensive linemen are going to play.
Right.
And odds are they're going to play, unless Texas is up by 40 or down by 40. Like, they're going to treat this as a normal game to where Arch Manning and the O-linemen are going to play every snap. So,
sure.
I don't think this will be like, let's see what Nate Kibble has. Let's see what Daniel Cruz has. Some of these backup offensive linemen, you're seeing them in practice again, but I don't think you'll get to see. I hope you do. I hope Texas is up by 30 and then you get to see them. But again, the game plan is not like, we're just going to rotate guys in and out. They're treating this, at least they're saying they're going to be treating this like a.
Well, you have to. It's the damn Cheez-Its. I mean, who's feeling the cheesiest, coach?
I woke up feeling the cheesiest, coach. I think Sark will say something like that in the post game presser if Texas wins.
Yeah, tonight. Hey, curfew starts tonight.
Curfew starts tonight. Oh, they let them have the weekend, but.
Oh, yeah. Curfew starts tonight.
Okay. No Disney.
That midnight curfew is in effect now.
I'll be hanging out with Minnie Mouse over there. All right.
Well, I like the ones where there's no curfew, straight on through. You just get to practice. That's your deal. But now got to be in. Somebody's checking rooms now at midnight.
Mm. You get this close to the game. Now you got to do the room check.
Got to do the room check. You'll only be sending people home now. Mm. Remember in the old days how they used to send people? They don't even send them home anymore. They just keep them around. They don't even waste the trip.
Yeah.
Remember you used to read about guys in bowl trips? Oh, such and such got sent home.
I don't know if Texas has enough players to send people home,
They can't afford to do that.
That's the difference. You got so many opt-outs and transfers that it's like we're short on bodies.
Hey, you send somebody home, you get mad enough to send a kid home, guess what? He won't be there in spring ball either.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point. You got to worry about that nowadays too. Kids these days, but kids.
These daggum babies.
These days. All right, you want some good news here before we get out of here?
It's some good news.
Chaos theory. You know, there's a lot of problems with our country these days. A lot of things that aren't going as well as we would like. But one thing that apparently is going well, murders in the U.S. are down nearly 20% in what's likely the largest single-year drop ever recorded. Killings in the U.S. plunged nearly 20% compared to last year.
All we need is love.
January to October in 2024, it's 7,369 murders in this country. January to October in 2025, 5,912 murders recorded in this country.
It's interesting. More people on the roads. I would think that thing would pick up a little bit.
Well, accidents and murders are different. Oh, you're talking about like road rage murders.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, I don't know about the car accident numbers. I feel like those keep going up with how much.
Those will go up for this holiday season.
But, yeah, road rage incidents here. Did we show this one or is this a different road rage incident. What? I don't think I ever showed you this one. This one's from Florida. I chopped this one up last week and forgot
to
play it on the show. Another road rage incident. Driver in the front car gets out, walks back to the driver in the back car, and then punches off his rearview mirror, punches the windshield one time, kicks the car a few times, and then the driver in the back car drives away and smashes the driver's side door.
I can't close that door, can you, buddy?
Now he can't close it. Yeah, nice move, idiot.
Good God, good job, tough guy. I would take that door. Yeah, that guy, I would definitely take that door all the way off, BK, driving right through it.
That's exactly what happened, right? Road rage incident. These guys like cutting each other off. Driver in the front car gets pissed, gets out, walks back to the driver in the back car, doesn't have a weapon or anything, punches the rear view mirror off, starts hitting and kicking the car. And then the driver's like, all right, I'm just going to take off your door and drive away from you. Thank you very much.
And now you can't close that thing forever. Now you're going to need a new door.
So, yeah, I don't think this turned into a murder, thankfully, but incidents like that. We have talked about some road rage murders on this show. But, yeah, crime data analyst Jeff Asher says it's a remarkable drop in crime and also said that it fell at a historic clip in 2025. More than a 20% decline in New York City, 28% in Chicago, 28% in Washington, D.C., L.A., about 19%.
What about Philly? We must be leading the land, probably.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see that. It only mentions a few cities in this article. Mass murders in the U.S. also fell in 2025, reaching their lowest level since 2006.
We're not taking out people by the bunches anymore?
No. I mean, I'd like for that number to be zero. I'd like for all of these numbers to be zero. But apparently the fewest amount of mass murders that we've had in two decades in this country.
Very nice.
And a crazy decline in overall murders, too. So
people start to maybe simmer down a little bit.
I guess so. Maybe the further away we get from COVID, people are less on edge as they were a few years ago, perhaps.
Well, no. It is the flu season, but I'll never have the flu.
Keep saying it, Buck.
I'll never have the flu. And I've been in contact with a few people over this holidays. I'm worried about it a little bit, but just keep saying it.
Don't say I'm worried about the flu. You got to say I'll never have the flu.
I'll never have the flu. I do see some of these cedar trees starting to lighten up with the pollen, like they're ready to start busting out all over the place.
Some CDs nuts trees.
CDs nuts.
Is that what you said? Oh. I'm not too familiar with that. All right. Since you won't be here tomorrow, bring on the boys from Chaos Theory. I have a little hypothetical Tuesday on a Monday question okay. for you, Jimmy.
All right.
If y'all will allow it. By the way, Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, boys. Good to see you all.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, I've been called that a time or two. Thank you, sir.
I know, that's why I said that.
Thank you. Hmm. All right, you guys. There is a bowl of grapes sitting in front of you.
Yes.
There's 1,000 grapes in said bowl.
1,000?
1,000 grapes in the bowl. 999 of them are completely safe. They're normal grapes. One of them is poisonous and will kill you. Every grape you eat from the bowl, you get $100,000. How many grapes do you eat before you quit?
I don't touch them. I'm happy.
You're going zero.
I have everything I need.
Yeah, but a few $100,000 would give you more of what you need.
I'm not greedy.
Okay.
I'd eat 500.
What?
So you're going 5 grapes, double R? You're taking
what
your
five, what 500 what's $500 going to do?
No, $500,000.
Okay,
500. Only 500 grapes.
He's saying 500 grapes.
I'm a poor man, Buck. I got nothing.
No, I'm Wags. No, I'm with you. I eat none.
I'd eat 10.
I go have some soup, Wags, instead.
Yeah, exactly.
Some cheap ass soup. No thanks. I don't take that chance.
It's just a thrill, you know?
No.
You have a 99.99% chance of being perfectly fine with that first grape that you eat.
No, I'm still there. Remember, I'm the guy who won't get on the roller coaster because I'm the guy that one in a million gets thrown out of the coaster into the parking lot. That's why I don't get on the coaster.
I don't get on the roller coaster because I seen the dudes that put that shit together. That's why I don't get on the roller coaster. It ain't got nothing to do with my luck.
It's my family that's putting it together.
Yeah.
I was out at Coda last week, and they're building that Coda land out there.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Just looking around. All right. Who's got a beer in their hand? Who's who's drinking right now?
I have none.
Okay, Rodney, you're going 10. Bucky, 0. Wags, 0.
I'm going 0, yeah. I'm not risking it. I'm not chancing it.
How bad of luck do you think you have?
I don't have that great of luck.
Yeah, I'm just that I don't I like every possession I can get, and every day is a good day. So I'm not going to take a chance.
And honestly, I don't have anything that's worth jeopardizing the risk, right? I love what I have right now, man.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm like you, Wags. I'm good. Although I wanted that $1.8 billion that somebody got in Arkansas.
And that guy's paying to get Trey Wisner over to the Razorbacks.
Oh, my God.
It's a Walmart money.
Yeah.
It's a Walmart money over there.
Did we see who won? I know it was someone from Arkansas, but have we found out the story or identified the actual?
Somebody that's going to pass away in 2 years.
That's somebody that just got a lot of cousins that he or she didn't realize they still had.
Yeah. He got lots of friends now.
Amen.
Popping out of the woodwork, for crying out loud.
For the record, I'm going 20 grapes for me, gentlemen.
Wow. What? God, 20?
Taking $2 million out of this deal. I'm taking my chances, the percentages very much in my favor. And then, boy, when I got the 20, would I be greedy and think about 21? Made it this far. What's it? Another 100K. All I got to do is eat one more grape. These are delicious.
And grapes. In this hypothetical scenario, right, the grape kills you on the spot.
It's poison. I mean, it's poisonous. Like you die however you would die from poison. So there'd be some pain involved with the death, I would think, but you go pretty quick.
You go down swinging.
Yep.
You go down with the challenge.
I'm going down swinging. I'm going for it. I don't need safe.
I am past the stage of my life where I used to be afraid of dying, but I know it's going to happen.
You're afraid of dying if you're not doing this. You're not eating grape. You're terrified of dying.
I don't need to exasperate. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to exacerbate the process. I'm fine.
Right. You're not going to masturbate fine. The pro. What are you saying?
Exasperate.
I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
Right.
What Tim McGraw say? Live like you were dying. Isn't that a song?
It is.
No, he also said my next 30 years, I'm going to chill the hell out.
Yeah, with $2 million from eating a few grapes.
Well, my wife has a saying for this year, and it's make it happen. I think she means that more to me, like get up off your ass and make stuff happen. But so I'm living by that motto, make it happen.
Well, you're starting on December 29th. You got 3 days left. Or do you mean next season?
Yeah, or year for next year.
You should tell your wife, like, all right, yeah, new for this year. Yes, I will follow that for this year. And then January 1st,
make it happen for the last few days.
Oh my God. Good holidays for you guys.
Yeah,
good.
Sorry for your I'm sure you'll talk about it, Wags, but sorry for the family loss.
Oh yeah, I will not talk about it.
Okay. I'm sorry for bringing it up then.
So Bucky, you'll appreciate this. So had my daughters over this year for Christmas. We were like the old folks are coming home to see us.
Oh yeah.
And they brought their young stallions with them. So I had the young men over. They behave well and good young guys.
Interrogation awesome. Process? Was this the first time?
No. One of them I know extremely well. Yeah. Uh-huh. The other one is, they're very different dudes, but good guys. Good guys.
Yeah.
They passed the initial test.
Yeah. They share Tracy's trait in finding a good man, namely me. So
you had the holster? Do you have the ankle holster ready to go just in case?
No, all I had a pocket knife ready to go just in case.
I heard.
I was always careful of that because my one daughter married a guy who was trying to become a Navy SEAL, and when I tried to have that talk with him, he said, listen, you don't have to. He goes, I can get to you before you can get to me.
There it is.
I was going to give him that talk before the wedding. I was like, I was going to give him you better not screw my daughter up or I'll come and get you. And he said, I get to you before you get to me. I'm like, nice.
Rodney, this sounds weird. Your wife sent me a picture, or actually a video, of you.
Another picture?
You
is
and
that what she's doing at 2 in the morning? God dang. Is that all that groaning in the 2 in the morning?
I didn't word that the way I wanted to. But she sent me a little clip of you and one of your daughter's boyfriends at the house hanging out. So things went really well, it appears. Oh, you guys were having a good time together.
Those were close.
That was right after the Cowboys win.
Oh, my God.
That's after the Cowboys win.
Rodney, did they use your bathroom, too? I mean, did anybody – I do have to take this back. You know, I always talked about I just don't go to the bathroom at someone – well, when I go to my I've just figured – I went to my daughter-in-law's house on Saturday to celebrate Christmas. They had someone there all week, so we did on Saturday. And I know we did takeout. You know, we didn't do the food there, so we did a takeout someplace called Abba's or something. Really good food.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it hit me, and I had coffee that morning. I had to use their bathroom.
Oh no!
And then I thought about it, BK, and I said I would never go to somebody else. It was actually the third time that I've taken a dump at their house. Their house is the place that makes me want to take a dump.
Is it like a smell? Like you go in there and like
I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I said I won't do it at somebody else's house. For some reason, their house makes me get to the point of being so comfortable I can go around the corner, down the hall, and go to their bathroom and do that.
They're burning incense in there or something?
No, my wife went in after me. I was like, I came out back. And after she came back, I was waiting for her to give me the eyeball, and she didn't look. So I must have not been that bad. I was in there for about 10 minutes.
Just got to make sure there's no skid marks on the bowl. You know that's and if there is, you wipe those down. But no. Both young lads went, but I think they only took a piss. I don't think anybody took a crap because I went and checked. And then I took a crap. I went and took a crap in there. I'm like, come on in, boys. Here's what you get.
Yeah, that'd be a great bit if you're a dad trying to intimidate someone dating your daughter. You just take a shit and then you invite them in the bathroom right after you're done. Yeah. Talking there.
Come on in. Well, it was funny because my wife is probably, I don't know if she's done this around you guys, probably not, but my wife is the best burper that you can find. That woman can
My wife's pretty serious with it too, man. She can bellow.
So it's like those young dudes are sitting there opening because, you know, we got them gifts and everything. And my wife rips a belch out and those dudes are like looking at me. I'm like, don't look at me.
I didn't do it.
Yeah. The white lady did it.
Oh, my God. Well, all right, guys. We'll let you all get to it.
Have a great show.
Have a safe flight, man.
Thank you all. See you all tomorrow.
Later.
See you later, boys.